Good job. Thank you guys for ringing the bell. Welcome everybody. Glad to see you here today. We have a couple of announcements here. I try to read them because I don't know what she has up first. All right, first of all, we have Sunday school. Did we have a discussion today? It's great. Praise the Lord. We're just going through our daily bread, and there's some more daily breads back there. And we just go through for the week, and it has been great sharing. I think it helps bind us together. So I encourage anybody and everybody to come to Sunday school at 9:30. And it's a lot of fun. And then we have our food pantry. Gleaners comes on Wednesdays and be here by 11 o'clock. They open up the food and it's usually gone pretty fast. If you know somebody that needs help, that needs a food basket or whatever, be sure and probably just have them call the church. I know it says to... But Sherry will get, you'll have to leave a message, but Sherry gets the messages, or Helen, one of the two. And then they will call them and help them. So it's a great ministry, and they help a lot of people. So I'm just praising God for this ministry. Yeah, I think it does well. Prayer meeting on Wednesday night, it's great. Yeah, you can just go to our webpage and click on prayer meeting, and as long as you have Zoom in your computer or your phone, whatever, and there's also a phone number. If you don't have Zoom, you can just call and do it. So it's a great way to pray for everybody. And our next potluck will be July 2nd. So we'll be celebrating 4th of July early with potluck. We had a great potluck last week. So I encourage you to plan on coming on July 2nd. I think that is it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful that we have this place to come and worship you today. Father God, I just pray that we can just open our hearts and our minds to just worship you, to think about you, forget about the rest of the world, and just concentrate on praising you today. We love you, Lord, and we just thank you for this time that we have together. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, we're going to go to our call to worship, and it is Psalms 104, verse 33. Would you stand? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being. Amen. Amen, amen.
So let's do that.
Yes, so let's do that. The first thing is joy to the Lord, and that's really a fun song.
I will sing hallelujah, for there's joy in the Lord, and he fills my heart with rapture as I rest on his word. I will trust in his promise, I will shout, I am free in my blessed loving Savior. I have sweet victory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord.
Okay, just a minute. Now, this is a happy song. And I see people, Sky is smiling. Let's show the joy of the Lord in this song. It's a great song. Okay.
I will live for my Savior. I am his evermore. I am resting in his favor. I am safe and secure. For the light shining brighter on my path every day. Cheers my happy soul with rapture as I walk in the way. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory.
There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. When I come to the portals of that land of the blessed, I shall sing with holy angels of this rest, happy rest. I shall dwell there forever with my Lord and my King, and with everlasting praises make those high arches ring. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Good job.
Yay.
Wyatt.
Yay. Wyatt even smiled. And Mike. All right, are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing crown? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood,
in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?
Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Wow, good job.
All right, get a breath. We've got two of them. All right, this is...
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing
Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder, at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great. It is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory give
I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, it is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. God bless each and every one of you. Now is our opportunity to give back. And if you're watching online later or now, or you want to give privately, you can always use Tithely online as well. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed. Jobs, family, friends, this church, cars, homes, everything these bodies need on this side of perfection. You meet our every need, and we are so thankful. Please accept back from our hearts but a mere portion of what you have so generously blessed us with. Amen. And now, the best time, we get to share praises and prayer requests with each other and be a family together here in this building. So, I understand this last week we prayed for a woman, Nicole, and her son Eli, who has ended up being fatally injured, and he has passed. And many of his organs have been donated to others because he was quite young, a very young man. am able to give life to many other people through organ donation. So prayer for Nicole as that goes through. Then Sarah, I don't know if you want to share, but it's been heavy on my heart, your coworker Alyssa and what happened with that. For the last 3 years, she's been battling bone cancer, and we prayed for her off and on as she's gone into remission, recurrence, remission, recurrence, remission, recurrence. And at this point in time, she has chosen to stop doing therapy because that's actually more painful to her than to be on hospice and enjoy the time she has left with family. So prayer for Alyssa, Sarah's former coworker, and her husband, and Alex is his name, Alex. And a peaceful passing for her that passes all understanding, because we've watched her posts for the last 3 years, and she has praised God through every step she has gone through. I have no doubt she has ministered to more before the age of 30 than many of us have a chance to do in a lifetime. So, praise God for Alyssa. Anybody else have a... Judy? Yep. Yep. I did not know if we would see you today, but I'm glad that we do. So we were lifting up a praise that Mike Aaron is here with us today. He had his surgery this last week, and it would have been no shame if you were laid low because of it, but we are so glad that you are in our fellowship today. Yes, actually. Bill. That sounds like Christopher. So Bill is praising God for two graduations he's gotten to go to, and one of them definitely for his grandson, Christopher, Bill's son, Bill Jr.'s son. Let me be clear. Let me be clear. Yes, absolutely. Josh. So Josh is praising. Uh-huh. Yep. So Josh is praising God for two things. One, his nephew graduating and making it 45 years. He had his birthday on Saturday. And I'll tell you, in my case, God definitely has a sense of humor because the big 5-0 is coming up. So, you know, exactly. Right? Years of blessing. Right, Josh? Yeah, absolutely. Some people had more years of blessing than we have, though. So, Jeremy. Oh, that's right. You've been concerned about this. So Jeremy's got an upcoming dentist appointment on Tuesday to find out what's going on with his tooth. Yeah, and per the dentist bill doesn't go. You know how those can go. Yeah, exactly. Rhonda. How's the bus doing?
Well, it was okay.
And ran into you. Okay. Whew. All right. So Rhonda's got three praises. One, she was run over by a kid while on bus duty, and the kid's okay, and so is she. I know as a teacher, you always worry about the kid, too. It just, I mean, you worry about yourself, but you don't stop, you know, worrying about the kid. Yeah. And then another praise was a fast turn around to Coeur d'Alene and safe travels. Absolutely. And, oh my gosh. Birthday. There we go. The third one, a birthday. Rhonda finally turned 46. So she's a year ahead of you, Josh. So. Sarah. Nick Greenville does this parade of graduates thing where they get to go back and parade on graduation day at their elementary school and get to see their old teachers, and it's really kind of cool. And I'll tell you, from a teacher standpoint, that fills your heart big time. Get to see them and celebrate. And so Sarah got to do that, and Claire got to hug a bunch of them at that school. So that's just a praise. You know, that's just love right there. That's love in action, and that's to be praised right there. Ooh. Sarah was just bragging. She had a valedictorian that came through her class. Absolutely. Betty. So two things Betty's lifting up. One was a praise for another grandson, right, that graduated with honors. Okay, all right. And then the other was a request for Michael Johnson. And he is family friend, or was that nephew? There we go. Yours and Al's nephew, right? Okay, all right. And he had a leg amputation, and his right leg, which didn't get amputated, is bearing all the weight, and he's really struggling through physical therapy with that. And he needs to attend to his wife, and that's another struggle. So prayer for Michael Johnson and his wife with the recovery from the amputation. Anybody else? Fred. Yep. So my dad's lifting up my mom, who is home, not feeling well because of allergies. Anybody else? Amen. Yeah. And then also lifting up my brother, Tony Marble, who is applying for jobs back out here on the West Coast. He had a great interview. First interview with Sherwood. And I think he's supposed to have a second interview or already did. I'm not sure. Yeah, had a great second interview. So hopefully it'd be nice to see him land a job, be able to come back. And he's selling his home over on Cape Cod. So there's a lot of change going on for him again this summer. Yeah. So prayer for all of that to happen. And for him to get where God wants him to be. That's the most important piece. Betty. Okay. Betty is praising God that school is out Thursday at 11:30. I won't say anything about it being Wednesday at 11:30 for me. Sarah, Friday, 2:30. Oh, well. Oh, thank God that we get to teach and we get to influence others for him. Debbie, I see you up there.
Any update on Lou and Claire? As we're in the ER and
oh.
Dr. Leslie.
So Claire has an ongoing sinus pressure, headache pain going on right here. Okay, but a headache pain, right? And we're not sure exactly why. She gets allergy meds twice a day, so we're pretty certain it's not allergy induced. But so we're trying to figure that piece out. And Lou was at the ER. He had a COPD flare up. And so I didn't get to sleep a couple nights, but he's back on the mend with some good antibiotics. So my father-in-law will be on the right track again. So, yeah. Well, I have just one little personal praise to share, if I may. I go in and sign hiring documents on the 29th for my new job. So that'll be really awesome to have that all done. Yeah. Yeah, the whole family band will be in McMinnville during the day now. Yeah. Instead of 7 miles away, hun, I'll be 7 blocks away. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. All right. Father, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you have given us. Simply by being God Almighty. All-knowing, all-present, all-powerful, all-loving. Thank you for being a good, great, righteous, creating, loving God. Thank you for giving us that love and providing for us what we need on a daily basis. Thank you for giving us family. Thank you for giving us this church. Thank you for giving us a ministry field right in front of us every step of every day. Thank you for ministering through us and sometimes with words. Lord, forgive us if we fall short of being your vessel. Forgive us when we let our anxiety rule. Forgive us when we let our physical shortcomings define who we are. Thank you for redefining us into saved, forgiven, worthy of your love. Lord, we've lifted up many needs in the congregation and many praises. Praises for a bunch of birthdays and a bunch of graduations, and milestones in life that you have seen us to and through. Lord, many graduates this last week starting an adventure in their lives. Lord, put guardian angels over them, watch over them. Bring them to just the place you have designed to benefit our society. Lord, thank you for summer coming, the opportunities to be more with family. Thank you for the many gifts you have given with medicines to help when we are ill. And Lord, for the time to know it's time to take a step toward home. Be with Alyssa and Alex as that final step, that final path has been chosen. Lord, be with Mike as he continues to heal from his surgery. Lord, be with Rhonda as she gets back up from being flatlined. Lord, just be with so many needs that have been expressed today. And Lord, even more so, be with the leaders that are above us and put in place around us today. Knock on the doors of their hearts. And if they know you already, impart wisdom, great wisdom, for such a time as this. That they would create laws, put in policies that would benefit and show your grace to all. Along with your love, your righteousness, and your justice as well. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, kiddos. We could do another fun song. I was looking ahead. You ready? You ready? Okay. The song is called Clap Your Hands, All Ye People. Can you clap? Can you clap? You ready? Okay. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise him, praise him, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Praise him, praise him, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Bubba. Father, Lord, thank you for these children and the future and a hope that they bring to us all. Lord, watch over their every step, guide them moment by moment with your guardian angels to bring them to know your peace and who you are in their lives for your kingdom's sake. Amen. All right, let's do this.
Good morning. How is everybody doing? So good to see you all. Praise the Lord for such a beautiful day and just a time to get together and be with our brothers, our sisters in Christ. Last week when we were together, some of you were not with us, so I'll bring you up to speed. Jesus revealed the gospel plan to Nicodemus. Do you remember the story of Nicodemus? He was a leader of the Pharisees who visited Jesus during the night. So now we're going to jump a few chapters ahead in John and listen to Jesus describe himself as the living heavenly bread. And we're going to talk about the implications of that. So follow along with me. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 6. The New Living Translation. Again, follow along whichever translation you wish. John chapter 6. I'm going to jump way down to towards like the end-ish of the book. Verse 51. This is Jesus speaking. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. Amen to God's word. So you may have noticed that Jesus is repeating himself again and again. And anytime someone is repeating themselves, it means, oh, we must pause and listen because it must be important if they're repeating themselves, right? If you go back to your childhood and you can hear your parents' voices in your head repeating themselves, mm-hmm, yep, that would be why.
Because we need to learn the lesson, right, Sister Lori? We got to learn the lesson. And if he's repeating himself, what is he saying? Now, when you were growing up, were you ever told you are what you eat? Did anyone ever hear that? Yeah, I see some hands and some nods like, yes, I remember that. Now, what on earth does that mean? You are what you eat. I ate plenty of grapes as a kid. In my yard in Jersey, I had grapevines, I had a peach tree. We had different things. My dad grew a garden. My grandma had her little mint garden. I didn't turn into any of those things. I'm not a grape, purple or green. So what does that phrase even mean? You are what you eat. What were they trying to get at? Anyone help me here. Why did adults tell us that? And I know we have some educators in the house, too. Yes. Just so you could be healthy. Mm-hmm. Any other reasons? Yes. Say again. Oh, so the idea of you reap what you sow. So if you eat the good things, you're going to get better health than if you eat the bad things and not so much. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and your actions as well. Ooh. You are what you eat. So, I believe those things, I would agree with what has been said, right? The adults in your life are trying to get you to eat the right things so that you could be healthier and not less healthy. It was a way to inspire us as kids, right? To choose the healthier option. And even our minds get fed. I know it's not just our bodies, but it's our minds also. So we want to practice feeding our bodies and our minds healthy things so that we can be as healthy as possible, right? It doesn't guarantee, Sister Susie, that you'll never ever get sick because you're eating carrots or because, you know, you're eating grapes. But the chances are it increases your health, right? When you eat more of those things that are better for you, and likewise your mind, filling your mind with healthy things helps us to be as healthy as possible. And so you may not even notice this, you may not even realize, but it's God who actually came up with that idea first. I love being at work because people think, oh, they have such brilliant ideas. And I just smile. Yeah, that's a God idea. It's not originally with you. But hey, let's go for it. Let's do it. Especially when they're non-believers. I love it because I'm like, oh, you're doing exactly what God said. Awesome. And you don't even believe in God. Who knew? It's a good thing. And this is why we pray for non-believers. This is why we pray for the leaders in our land, because they don't necessarily know who God is. They don't necessarily care about God. But they affect us, right? We have to live with them. And so it is great for us to pray for them, because God can use them to bless us, his people who do name his name. So it's a God idea. He gives us physical food for our bodies, and God gives us spiritual food for our souls. Now, when you go back, Old Testament, way back in the beginning, when he created Adam and Eve, he gave them all the good foods to eat. Remember? And then when the Israelites were traveling in the wilderness after leaving Egypt, he gave his people more good food to eat. When you read the poetry books and the wisdom books, you see over and again the reference to the benefits of eating God's food, which is the Word of God, the spiritual food. So we find examples of this all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New. Joshua 1:8. God instructs Joshua as he takes the lead after Moses dies. So remember, Moses dies, God buries him secretly, and then he calls forth Joshua to take his place. This is what he says to Joshua, Joshua 1:8. Study this book, scripture, of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So God says to Joshua, you want to be successful? Study my word. Eat the food that I'm giving to you. and you will be the leader that I am calling you to be. The psalmist wrote in 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does that mean to hide God's word in your heart? It means you're eating his daily bread. You're pondering it. You're thinking about it. When you wake up, oh, what's that scripture? Oh, yeah, so let me wrestle with that scripture. You continuously think about it and how it applies to your life. You don't just let it go in one ear, right, Sister Sarah? Mm-hmm, and then right out the other. Oh, the life of children. It's so easy for them to do that. Oh, wait, we're just big kids. It's easy for us big kids to do the same thing. Mm-hmm, right, Brother Gene? In one ear and right out the other. Why? Well, you know, because we get to choose what we want to do and what we want to listen to, right? But if we want to be healthy spiritually, we study God's word, we memorize it, we look for ways to apply it to our life. And if you go further down in chapter 119, it says in verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Because the word of God teaches us, it shows us, it guides us, gives us wisdom, gives us direction, is what that scripture is speaking to. But even in the New Testament, you see Jesus himself saying to the enemy of our souls, to the devil, when he is tempted, you can read his temptation in Matthew 4. It's also recorded in Luke 4. This is what he says to the devil. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, physical food, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, our spiritual food. So Jesus says, yeah, there's physical food and there's spiritual food. You need both to be truly healthy. So all along, God has been telling humanity to eat his food, both physical and spiritual, for it'll do us good. He shows us the benefits, hoping that we will choose to follow him. It's interesting that this is in our scripture today, because in Sunday school, we were talking about free will. Everybody gets to choose. God shows us, he gives us his word, he gives us witnesses on planet Earth, but we still, at the end of the day, have to choose for ourselves. We don't get to choose for others. We have to choose for ourselves. And so he's hoping that we will choose to follow him. So when Jesus is on the scene, he doesn't do anything different. In fact, you will hear Jesus say, I'm not saying anything. This is not my words. I'm saying what the Father told me to say. All these things that I'm doing, I'm not doing them all myself. I'm doing what God the Father sent me to do. And so he reinforces what God has said all along. When he makes this statement about being the living bread sent from heaven, he assumes the audience will remember God's wilderness provision and that they will remember his promise of the Messiah. You remember, he at this moment, he's actually in a synagogue talking to people. So they are believers. They're not non-believers. They already know who Yahweh is. They name the name of God. So when he comes and says he's the bread, he's thinking, because this is a good audience, they're going to understand it and they're going to accept it. He's thinking that they're going to understand that promise is being fulfilled in him right in front of their eyes, and that they will accept his offer. Eat and live is the offer that he has for them. But listen, because if you read, I encourage you to go home, read this whole chapter. It's very fascinating. Read how the group responds. Again, this is not non-believer. This is not like Philistines that are listening to Jesus. These are Jewish people in the synagogue. So you have to continue reading the rest of the chapter. And when you get to verse 60 and following, listen to what it says. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? And then in verse 66, it says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. I know, Sister Lori's eyes got big. I know, that's what I did. I was like, what? No. So I know sometimes we get enamored and we don't fix our minds on the 12 disciples, but Jesus had more than just the 12. Those were his inner circle of disciples that he mentored daily, but he had a massive following of disciples. And they would come to the synagogue to hear him. In fact, they would follow him around. Like in this particular chapter, you're going to see, oh, where's Jesus? Well, we thought he was going to be over. Oh, there he is over there. And everybody gets in their boats and they go and follow him. Because he's their rabbi and they want to hear what he has to say. But when he tells them that he is the manna, remember, they're Jewish people. They remember what God did when he saved his people from Israel, out of Egypt. When they hear him saying he's the manna and that they're supposed to eat him, it's like, wait, what now? Huh? We thought you were the miracle worker and you were coming to save us. Oh, we nothing about having to eat you. No. What in the world is he saying right now? So a bunch of them decide, yeah, we thought he was the one, but I'm thinking not. And so they actually leave him. And Jesus was so disappointed. He turned to the 12 and he asked if they too were going to desert him. Good old Peter, you know, he's always ready to give an answer. Right or wrong, he's gonna say something. So this is Peter in verse 68. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? Where would we go, Jesus? Where would we go? I mean, really? Where would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. Listen to what he says. We believe and we know you are the Holy One. So now Peter declares this on behalf of the 12, that they believe Jesus to be the divine bread, but do they really understand what Jesus is saying to them? So let's break down. What is it exactly that Jesus is saying to them? I think there's a couple of things. The first thing is this. Jesus is identifying himself with the manna and the quail that God provided Israel after he rescues them out of the land of Egypt. God tells Moses to tell the people to only gather what their family needs. And then the day before Sabbath, they could gather a double portion, right? If you remember that story, they gather a double portion. So then that prevents them from having to work on the Sabbath, right? So Friday night, we get extra food because on Saturday, on Sabbath, we're all going to be eating and relaxing, resting in the name of Yahweh. But when you go back and read the account, you just got to shake your head because people are people. We're still the same today. It's really funny. Moses tells them, don't take too much. But there's always got to be one, right, Sister Rhonda? There's always got to be that one student. You just like, Frodo. The whole class is going well, but you just have to be the difficult one. Yeah, so yeah, here it is. Moses is like, okay, God's giving us manna. He's giving us quail. Get what you need for the day. You don't need to get extra. God's going to provide for tomorrow. Now, Sister Betty, some people just got, you know, a little greedy. Like, just take a few extra anyhow. And so what happened was when they go to look at that extra, it's all spoiled. It's rotten. And as Mary and Martha said, it stinketh. So they should not have done that because God said, I told y'all you didn't need to get extra. All you had to do was trust me. God was trying to teach Israel to trust his provision, to not be greedy or not worry. Because I think some people weren't trying to be greedy. They were worried. Because when they were enslaved in Egypt, everything was regimented and you only got this amount of food and you had to sleep at this time because you had to get up and you had to work and do the things that others were making you do. And so it probably only came natural as a panic. Let me make sure I get extra because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And God is saying, don't worry about those things. I am going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of what you need. And so God provides our daily bread, the book that we use for Sunday school, our daily bread. That's what it means. That's where that term comes from. He's our daily bread, our spiritual food. God provides our daily bread, enough to live day by day and have the health and the strength that we need. And like the manna and the quail, Jesus, the Messiah, will sacrifice his physical flesh and blood. The manna is the flesh. The quail is the blood, represents the blood shed, so that humanity can be reconciled back to God and live with God once this life is over. So Jesus is saying, one, I am that manna and quail, so that you can be reconciled back to God. When this life is over, you will live with God. That's the first way that Jesus is our living bread of life. But the second way that Jesus is the bread of life coming from heaven is that his sacrifice grants us an abundant life. And I know that many times we as modern day Christians, we confuse, we conflate that being the bread of life is just eternal life. But God, he didn't send his son just for our eternal life. He sent his son for today. In your daily life, he wants you to have an abundant life. And so John demonstrates this in chapter 10. Remember, he records Jesus saying, he came to give us an abundant life. So this means God's intention of salvation is not limited to our eternal life, but it includes the present life. God wants us to live a resurrected life through Jesus, his Messiah. So that's when, if you go back and reread what Jesus is saying, he's given that distinction between the two. Unless, he says in 53, you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. So whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And listen to what he says in verse 54, I will raise that person at the last day. So there's two types of lives that Jesus is talking about right there. There's your eternal life after this world ends. But there's also, it's described there. It's tricky because in English, when we're reading, well, it says eternal life twice. But when you're reading in the original language, it's abundant life. And that's why he says here, you have to have me, you have to eat me so I can be within you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit living inside of us. What does the Holy Spirit do? Gives us daily victory over sin. Reminds us that we belong to God and that we can live for God right here, right now. It is not waiting until we die and then be resurrected. Life in Christ means a resurrected life. Just as he died and was raised, so we too die to our old lives, our old ways of being, and we are resurrected to live a new life. So that means for us, each day, we become less selfish. We become more loving, more kind, more understanding. All the things that who God is, we are moving towards Him. Now, I'm not going to have you raise hands, but if you are exactly the same as the day when you accepted Christ into your life, something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong with that. Because we were talking about graduations earlier. If you start as a kindergartner, 5 years later, you still in kindergarten. Sarah, what's the problem? What we going to do? What we going to do? Because you should not still be in kindergarten 5 years later. Right? Same thing for us in our spirits. We should not stay stuck at kindergarten, stay stuck at fifth grade. Woo, heaven forbid, stay stuck in middle school. Lord have mercy. Or stay stuck in high school. If you're living, you should be getting closer and closer and more like Jesus. Because that's the whole plan, is to be restored to Imago Dei, to the image of God. So it's not limited to just that eternal life after this life is over, but it includes this present life. God wants us to live a resurrected life through His Son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The resurrected life means a life that reflects godliness. We have victory over sin, and we get stronger and we get better each day. Even though, funny thing, our physical bodies, as we age, begin to decline. But our minds, our wisdom, growing closer to God, increases. Isn't that funny? Funny, but not funny. Because God did that on purpose. He did that on purpose. All those things that you think you can do, we were talking about it earlier, when you're 18, oh, I can conquer the world. Mm-hmm, yep. And as you get older and wiser, you realize, ooh, child, the world has many times tried to conquer me. Many times. But God has saved me in all of those instances. He has helped me to prevail. He has helped me to come out the winner, to be victorious. Even though sometimes it was like, yeah, no, I really didn't win at that one. But I won on the inside. I learned a lesson. God taught me how to love and be forgiving and be patient. Those are the things that we grow up in and we increase in as we grow up in Christ. So don't remain a kindergartner, even though we like kindergarten. Get naps and snacks. That's good stuff. But God is like, yeah, well, at some point, you got to stop napping. And you got to grow up. You got to take on responsibility and follow me. Not just live for yourself. So we become more like God. And each day we walk with God and follow His Spirit's leading. So when Jesus invites us to eat His flesh and to drink His blood, He's inviting us to be restored to the image of God. Be like Him. Why? Because we are what we eat. And if you're eating Jesus, if you're drinking His blood, you are living out His resurrected life in your own body. I'm bringing in healthy things. What could be more healthier than the Messiah Himself? Nothing. Nothing. So this is what Jesus is inviting us to do. He wants us to be restored to the image of God. And if we eat Jesus, we will live. He will be in us, and we will be in Him. And that's a whole nother sermon and time to really reflect on and think about how God is in us and we are in Him. If we only eat physical food, we will die. a physical death eventually, right? And ultimately, our soul will die because we've only been focusing on that which is physical and not tending to our spiritual. To underscore his offer to abundant life, Jesus preaches this sermon after he has miraculously fed the 5,000. Again, go back and read the whole chapter. He's done this miracle. The people are hungry, and he tests Philip. He goes, I wonder how much it costs to feed all these people. And Philip says, man, we ain't got enough money for that. We ain't got enough money for that. And then someone points out, well, we got these fish and we got these loaves of bread. Jesus says, bring them here. And he performs this miracle. And it's after that miracle that he says to the people, I am the bread of life. He's building upon what they just witnessed. And so when you go back and read the story, you'll see that he even has the disciples go out and collect the extras. Now, it's different from Old Testament when God said, you don't need to collect extras. I got you. Here he says, collect the extras. We don't want anything to go to waste. So Jesus is already planning for others who will need to eat. None goes wasted. Jesus paints the picture that he can provide both the physical food, which is why people continue to follow him. They want to see more miracles. And he says to them, I got something better than that physical food. I got something that feeds your soul. And if you eat this and drink this, you will live not only forever after this world is over, but you will have an abundant life while you're here still on earth. Now, beside the two ways that Jesus is the living bread from heaven, God wants us to remember that with food comes fellowship. And I think this is why he uses that metaphor for us. This is why he designed Jesus to be sacrificed and symbolized, his sacrifice symbolized as a meal, right? Because even during the Passover, he says to his disciples, take, eat, right, and drink. Because the meal represents a time of fellowship. Jesus' death and resurrection actually reconciles us back to God. And so we have this restored fellowship with God, which is portrayed sometimes as God putting on a feast for us. And when we fellowship over a meal, I mean, think about how we have our church potluck, or the times that some of you just said you just celebrated graduations and you got together over meals. What happens when we do that? People share of themselves. You share joy, you share your thoughts. You might even share a sorrow. Think of repast when someone passes away and you have a meal afterwards. We remember their life and we mourn together as a community. But we also share our hopes. All the things happen when we're in fellowship over a meal. So the fellowship indicates love and respect, in a sense of equality and acceptance. And that's why God says, I'm going to invite you to my feast, to my table, because you are now reconciled in relationship to me. Right? You've been restored. So I'll close with reading a portion of Isaiah 25, because it's a good place where the prophet talks about, yes, God is going to prepare a feast for us. Isaiah 25 reads this. O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. You turn mighty cities into heaps of ruins. Cities with strong walls are turned to rubble. Beautiful palaces in distant lands disappear and will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong nations will declare your glory. Ruthless nations will fear you. But you are a tower of refuge to the poor, O Lord. a tower of refuge to the needy in distress. You are a refuge from the storm and a shelter from the heat. For the oppressive acts of ruthless people are like a storm beating against a wall, or like the relentless heat of the desert. But you silence the roar of foreign nations. As the shade of a cloud cools relentless heat, so the boastful songs of ruthless people are stilled. Listen to what he says in verse 6. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meats. The best. God breaks out the best for us. Verse 7 says, there he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. And then the verse ends with, the Lord has spoken. And that's saying, amen. God is going to prepare a feast for those who have been reconciled back to him through Jesus Christ, his son, the Messiah. One day, we will all get to be rejoicing together. Like Isaiah prophesies there in the text. We're going to come together. And we're going to talk about how good our God is. All the wonderful things that he has done. How he has given us victory once and for all over death itself and over sin. For now, we get to accept Jesus' invitation to eat and live. We hope for that day to live in glory with God. But right now, we're here. So let's live the abundant life that Jesus promises to us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your holy word. You are so good to us, God. So, so good. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you for sending Jesus to not only save our souls eternally, but to give us power and victory over sin in our lives right here, right now, today. Thank you for that. Thank you that you give us love for others. Thank you that you give us forgiveness for others. Thank you for giving us wisdom. Thank you for giving us strength and courage to do the right thing when many others around us may not be wanting to do the right thing. Thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that lives in us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We lift up now those in our lives who may not know who you are, who do not necessarily name the name of Christ. You know who they are. Some are our neighbors. Some are our coworkers or former coworkers. Some are our family members. We have siblings and cousins and grandkids and all the things, God, and they, for whatever reason, don't really embrace you and don't know you for themselves. We pray that you will, your Holy Spirit will move in their hearts. We pray that you would use us to help be light and salt, to be loving and kind, to show them the way to you, not to beat them over their heads with scripture, but live out our love for you. Thank you, God, because that's all you require of us. Love you, love others. So simple, yet it is challenging for us to do. So we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us. Give us strength and faith to trust your promise of an abundant life and to accept this invitation to taste and see that you really are good. Amen and amen. All right. Before we close today, we ask. actually get to celebrate communion. We get to participate in eating symbolically the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus Christ to remind us it's not our works. It's not us being oh so good and holy that we get to go be with God. It's the work of Jesus Christ who saves us. So Sister Judy's going to come. We're going to serve everyone. For those who are watching us, who are streaming, we invite you to participate with us as well. Grab something, a beverage that represents the blood, something that represents Christ's body, and we'll all take it together. Jesus was with his disciples observing Passover, and he invited them to take and eat, to live. And so we do this now to remember his sacrifice. We take the bread, we eat it. Symbolizes his flesh, his body broken for us. And then he offered the cup. Take this blood, drink it, it is shed for you, for me. Again, we do this to remember what Jesus has done for us, that he died for us. Thankfully, he did not stay dead. He was resurrected and has all power in his hand, and one day he's going to come back and get us. Somebody say amen to that. Amen to that. I don't want to live here forever. So thank God for his Messiah. Let's close with a song and a benediction.
So this is a great song to close with, is O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So let's stand and close.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, we praise your name.
Reign, Prince of Peace, mighty God, O Lord God Almighty.
Amen. O Lord God Almighty, may these words be with you this week as we go from this place, remembering that we leave this place, but never His presence. His Holy Spirit is in us to empower us to live that victorious life. So go, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that He is with you to strengthen you, to guide you, and to keep you until we meet again. God's peace be with you. Have a wonderful week.